Hello, everyone. We are live. Today is September 22nd, 2025. It happens to be at sundown, the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, Lashana Tova to our Jewish brothers and sisters, and those who celebrate a sweet new year to you. We'll get into that as well. But welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. I just got back today from near the Catskills in New York. And so I will talk about that a little bit. But so I'm a little tired, which is good because my flesh is a little knocked down. So that normally is, if praise God, is good for flowing in the spirit. So welcome to everybody jumping in right now. Let's see who's coming in. I see North Carolina. Oh, let's see. Phoenix, Arizona, Kentucky. Chat's moving very fast. Arkansas. Another Arizona. Welcome to our wonderful friends in Arizona. Long Island. Hello to our wonderful friends in Long Island. Let's see. Oshawa, Ontario. Hello to our neighbors in Canada. Welcome, welcome. Michigan, Maryland, Buffalo, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Buffalo as well. I see Texas, Maine, Jacksonville, Florida, Brewster, New York. That's literally about 20 minutes south of us. So hello to our very close neighbors in Brewster. I see Oregon as well, Georgia, Alaska, Vancouver Island. Hello, hello. We're very happy to see you all coming in. Croghan, New York. I say hello to our neighbors. Hello to our international audience coming in as well. We're very happy to have you with us. Oh, let's see who else is coming in. Oh, I see Delaware as well. Hello to our friends on the East Coast. Sydney, Australia. Hello to our friends across the world in Australia. We're very happy to have you. Glens Falls near Lake George, New York. Hello to our neighbors in Glens Falls, as well as everybody else jumping in. The chat is moving so fast. I'm trying to read it. I see Idaho as well. Hello, hello, hello to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. We have got a lot to cover tonight, prophetically speaking. So we are going to jump in and pray immediately. And we're going to give this over to the Lord before I say anything. And then we're going to jump into, we have a lot to cover about America, the spiritual battle, Erica Kirk, things that were said yesterday at the memorial service as well. So let's just, and I have a few other things to say as well, that we will get into that are going to be prayerfully quite profound. So let's open up in prayer as I'm fixing my hair here because I had like no time basically to do it. But I just ran a comb through it, people, and came on tonight. So let's open up in prayer and then we are going to get into tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are Almighty God. You are high and lifted up, far above every power, principality, and might. Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your precious holy name. We humble ourselves before you this day, Father God, praising you, thanking you for your mercy, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we have sinned and fallen short in you. Lord, we praise you that your word says that your mercies are new every single day. And we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Lord, and we just praise you for that, Father God. We praise you that blood was sprinkled onto the mercy seat. Christ said, "It is finished." He purchased us. He redeemed us. He literally descended into the underworld. He took the keys from death. He defeated hell, death, and the grave. He rose again miraculously. He ascended back into heaven to victoriously seat himself at the right hand of the Father, where he rules and reigns forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before for you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in the presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the Living God, and the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory, your presence, your power, your authority, Father God, mightily fill this place. Father, let it mightily move and saturate the atmosphere, Father God. Let the Holy Spirit go forth and be the counselor tonight, Father God, to those who are watching. I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, that you would lead and guide us in your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. Father, fill us with your wisdom, Father God, and your counsel tonight, Father God. Order our steps. Order my words, Father. As I go forth in you tonight, be our front and rear guard, Father God, as we go forth mightily in you, knowing that you are ordering our steps, Father God, and we just praise you for that. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you would dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to fill this office, to surround the skies and the land above and below here, to guard against every dimensional access point as we go forth, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we take authority over and rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, violence, slander, intimidation, bullying, threat, witchcraft, curses, spells, incantations, potions, Father God, and dark arts of any kind. In the name of Jesus Christ, we apply the blood of Jesus. We command that all dismantled, destroyed, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, rendered powerless, their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And cast back to the areas you have designated for such, Lord, to be bound there in the name of Jesus Christ and not return to have anything sent to this place. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let every curse be reversed back to the sender, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, that they would know that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter, we are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith, Father God. Every breath we take is because of you. You are Yahweh. You are the breath. We owe you every breath, Father God. Your word says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, Father God. Lord, we just praise you. We thank you, Father God. You are holy. You are righteous. You sit on the highest throne, Father God. And we give you all the glory tonight as we turn it over to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua Mashiach. Amen and amen. And Lashana Tova to Almighty God as well, since he created Rosh Hashanah. Since Almighty God created the Feast of Trumpets, we just praise him for that. Because at sundown, it begins. And we are going to be putting out me and my husband Chris up near Windham, New York, blew the shofars near the top of a mountain. And so we're going to be putting that out as well. But I want to get into quite a bit. So if you could share this broadcast right now, we'd very much appreciate it. Like and subscribe. As we go forth, I've got an update at the end. We're going to give an update on Grace the Horse at the end. And two new residents have come to Ark of Grace Sanctuary. And so you'll find out who they are at the end. But let's get into what is happening right now. The picture in America, the spiritual war, what happened yesterday. Interestingly enough, Charlie Kirk's memorial service, his celebration of life service, was September 21st, 2025, 9/21/2025. 9/11 is in that date. 9 plus 2 is 11. 2 plus 2 plus 5 is 9. You have that 119, that pattern that we have been following all year, that 9/11 reverse. So his celebration of life was actually on a date that contains 9/11. And this has been a continuing theme all year, and I believe will continue through President Trump's entire presidency. Now, interestingly enough, the day of Charlie's memorial, the Lord had me stationed in a very interesting area. I was near the top of a mountain, a high place, attending a wedding. And the reason why the Lord had me stationed there is because the groom's name was Justice. It was the wedding of Justice. And he married a lovely bride. And interestingly enough, Justice's brother is Maximum. So their name together, and he was one of the groomsmen, is Maximum Justice. And that wedding took place the day, which was planned months prior, by the way, took place the day of the memorial. So the day of the memorial on the other side of the nation, on this side of the nation, near a high place in New York, there was a wedding and the groom's name was Justice. I'm telling you, this is prophetic for the time. And this is why the Lord had me stationed there, holding the office that I do. I had to be there and be stationed there for this. So I just wanted to point that out to you. Very interesting. His family is like family to us. So it's, you know, it was wonderful to be there, witness that. And the Lord also gave me some dreams up there while I'm praying about as well. So today at sundown, Rosh Hashanah begins. One day after this memorial service, the Feast of Trumpets, which begins a year, a window of a year, that marches us to Rosh Hashanah 2026, that happens to begin on September 11th next year. So just keep this in mind. We're entering a year. We went from the memorial service that happened on a date that contains 9/11 in it to Rosh Hashanah, which is a window of a year that then comes to Rosh Hashanah 9/11 on 2026. Now, we put out a short about this as well, but I wanted to mention this because it's so profound. One of my editors, Kim, found this. She found this in a word. There was a word from the Lord I had sent her for the book Brace for Impact, and she found this within the word, and she called me to tell me this and say, Amanda, I'm not sure you understand the fullness of what this means, but she spotted it with an editor's eye. And so February 20th, 2025, I gave a word from the Lord. It was called The Hamans Have Gone Out to Hunt. You could go to arcofgrace.org, click on current blog, and you can find it. The Hamans Have Gone Out to Hunt. And within that word from the Lord, this is what it says. On the 13th day of the 12th month, says the Lord, your year within the earth, meaning this year, your year. So he's talking about the year we're in, 2025. On the 13th day of the 12th month, says the Lord, your year within the earth, Haman and the snake, the serpent are connected, says the Lord. It has collided within the same year, for the super predator is rearing up for a strike, says the Lord, for an attempted strike within your nation of America. Now, 13th day of the 12th month. He's talking Jewish calendar terms, the Lord. Now, 13 plus 12 happens to be 25, and we're in the 2025, but it goes deeper than this. Now follow me on this. Charlie Kirk was tragically killed September 10th, 2025. September 10th on the Jewish calendar is Elul 17. Elul happens to be the 12th month on the Jewish calendar, on the 13th day of the 12th month of the year 2025. So Elul is the 12th month on the Jewish calendar, which means about 4 days prior to Elul 17, which is September 10th, would be around Elul 13, which is September 6th. September 6th would have been in the vicinity of the day that the man who is in custody, the young man who is in custody, who has been charged with killing Charlie Kirk, September 6th would have been around the time the decision was made to kill Charlie Kirk at that recent family dinner that they had that was all over the news. And after that recent family dinner, there was a decision that was made, I guess, to go ahead with this. That would have been in the vicinity of Elul 13, which is September 6th, because September 10th, it actually happened. On the 13th day of the 12th month, now I'm going to go back and read the word again. On the 13th day of the 12th month, says the Lord, your year within the earth, so 2025, Haman and the snake, the serpent are connected, says the Lord. It has collided within the same year. For the super predator is rearing up for a strike, meaning the predator has made the decision to strike. But this is back February 2025. February 20th, for the super predator is rearing up for a strike, says the Lord, for an attempted strike within your nation of America. He's saying on the 13th day of the 12th month of the coming year that we're in, but the Lord is saying this February 20th, 2025. But when it comes to the 13th day of the 12th month, the super predator is going to rear up for a strike. And it was reported all over the news that this young man had been at a recent family dinner where he was hostile towards Charlie Kirk. And it was after that dinner that these events were set in motion. So meaning the decision to actually do this transpired between that recent family dinner and September 10th, which means it would have been around the 13th day of the 12th month that that exchange happened between him and his family. And it set those immense events in motion because this was all over the news that there had been a recent family dinner and he had had an altercation about, I guess, Charlie Kirk at that dinner. So she found this. And so I wanted to point that out because this was given February 20th, 2025, this word. So and the 13th day of the 12th month would have been very close to when all of this happened. I'm going to say, please intercede and pray for the children of Charlie Kirk, because the enemy, with what happened, attempted to open a legal door of access of generational premature death and murder. And that needs to be cut off in the name of Jesus Christ and that assignment nullified. The enemy literally attempted to open a generational door against the children as well by doing that. And that legal door of access generationally of premature death and murder needs to be cut off in the name of Jesus Christ and that assignment nullified. So please intercede for that and continue to pray for that for them, because the enemy just doesn't want to stop here. He wants the generational legal rights through this. And so just remember to continue to pray and intercede for them as well. Now, I want to get into a clip of something Erica Kirk said yesterday that is going to tie in with what I'm talking about. And we're going to play the clip for you. And then we are going to talk because it's quite profound.
On the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." That man, that young man, I forgive him.
That is a very, very difficult thing to do in the wake of tragedy. But I will tell you what forgiveness does. Forgiveness slams the door shut on the enemy to bitterness and resentment, which brings captivity, which brings bondage. What Erica did there at that moment slammed a lucrative door shut on the enemy that should not be reopened by speaking this so soon and denying the enemy a chance to till the soil to grow such bondages in the life of her and her children. You see, forgiveness is not for them. It's not for the person that wronged you. Forgiveness is for you. It's for you to do what Christ did. It's for you to be within God's will and release that person and forgive them. So now you're releasing them now to be dealt with by the holy justice system of Almighty God without you and your flesh being in the way. Because that holy justice system of Almighty God, that is untainted. It's what Ananias and the disciples did with Saul, who became Paul. Jesus Christ forgave us. He forgave those who persecuted him, and therefore we are called to do the same, because the truth is we all deserved a death sentence when man had a catastrophic separation from Almighty God in the Garden of Eden, and Christ paid the penalty for that catastrophic separation at Calvary. So not that there are not consequences for actions, because there are most certainly consequences for actions. However, we are forgiven through Christ and that salvation. And we cannot be the wicked servant from Matthew 18, whose debt the king forgave and refused to show mercy to a fellow servant who owed that servant a debt. And he had him put in prison after he had been released of such a fate himself. As hard as it is, and as much as our flesh doesn't want to do it, forgiveness puts us in right standing before the Lord. It shuts legal doors of access on the enemy to use bitterness and resentment to put you in bondage and to destroy everything in your life that the Lord wants to grow, because that is exactly what happens. Forgiveness is not for them. Forgiveness is for your soul. It is for you to be right in right standing before the Father. It is for you to show mercy when you were shown mercy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's something that comes easy to the flesh, because it doesn't. But we have to understand, in the temperature that this nation is in, forgiveness has to be sought. Forgive, not that you agree with what they did, not that you like what they did, not that you're necessarily okay with what they did, but you forgive them. You are releasing that. You are not allowing it to become a garden of weeds in your life to systematically destroy your life, because that's what unforgiveness does. It blocks us and puts a block between us and the Father. Not that you have to talk to those people. Not that they have to be in your life, but you're releasing them of any ill will. You are releasing it to the Father for his holy justice system to deal with, without you constantly with your words and your feelings and your flesh getting in the way of it. That's what forgiveness does. And that is what this nation needs, because the enemy has raised up an army of angry, bitter, resentful, unrepentant, unforgiving disciples. And the way to defeat that is not to match that. It is to deploy the antithesis of that, which is forgiveness. That's what the nation needs. That is what it needs. And we have to understand that. And I'm going to go to Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Wait till we get to Acts 9:11 within this, because this is all connected. Acts chapter 9, verses 10 through 19. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. And he answered, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, verse 11, get up and go to the street called Straight, and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying there. Verse 12, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come in and place his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, especially how much suffering and evil he has brought on your saints at Jerusalem. Verse 14, and here in Damascus, he has authority from the high priest to put in chains all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a deliberately chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will make clear to him how much he must suffer and endure for my name's sake. Verse 17, so Ananias left and entered the house, and he laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came to Damascus, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and was baptized, and he took some food and was strengthened. So, in this group of scriptures, 9:11 is in this set of scriptures twice. First, you got Acts 9. Verses 10 through 19, you have the 9, and you have the 1 from 10, and you have the 1 from 19. So you have 9:11 that way. But then you have actually Acts 9:11. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying there. So symbolically, it's at a house named Judas on a street called Straight, because Saul was a Judas before he became Paul. So Judas was being set straight, if you look at it that way. Judas was being set straight. The what had happened with the betrayal, because Saul was like a Judas, was being reversed. There was a reversal happening. This is why it's in Acts 9:11. And he was now going to become Paul and used as a mighty instrument for the Lord. So what the church needs to be right now, in the midst of all of this, is Ananias. This is what the church needs to be right now in the nation. We need to be Ananias right now, willing to intercede and pray for all these lost souls, like this young man who think persecution and murder is the answer, who celebrate it, who thrive on it, because within that movement, there are souls in there who will have their road to Damascus experience in this season and be raised up as Pauls and contend in incredible ways for the gospel. The Lord is calling the church to be Ananias in the midst of this. And Ananias's first reaction was out of the flesh. But Lord, he's killing people. He's persecuting people. He's got authority in Damascus to put people in chains. And you know what the Lord said? You're going to go because he's a chosen instrument of mine. What you have heard doesn't matter. What I'm telling you to do, Ananias, is what matters. Acts 9:13-16. But Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many people about this man, especially how much suffering and evil he has brought on your saints at the Jerusalem. And here in Damascus, he has authority from the high priest to put in chains all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is a deliberately chosen instrument of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will make clear to him how much he must suffer and endure for my name's sake. Praise the Lord. We have to be Ananias right now and intercede for the scales to fall from the eyes of the generation that have become the Sauls, that hate Christians, that are so reprobate in their thinking, that think the liberal way is the righteous way, that think a corrupt conservative way is a righteous way. We have to command these scales to fall in the name of Jesus Christ, because it is the corrupt scales of the enemy and the kingdom of darkness that has put that generation on those scales, measured them out as tender to do his bidding, and blinded them so they can do it, do unconscionable things. And we have the chance to intercede and cause the enemy's own forged weapons to be plucked from his grip, radically transform the God haters, the transgender activists, the liberal violence mongers, the rebellion to authority, those who have been stripped of their masculinity, those who have prostituted themselves to the philosophies of the enemy, the ideologies of his kingdom, and the chains of a dark lordship. We have an opportunity in this to be Ananias. And the disciples and Ananias had to forgive Paul, which was Saul at that point. They had to forgive Saul for all the persecution and the murder, because Almighty God required it. He expected the Acts church to rise to the occasion amidst it, amidst a car wreck that happened. The Lord expected the Acts church to arise in the midst of that. We have a chance to do this in this time, in this season as the church. And we must intercede for the Sauls right now, for the James, for the Peter, because they're next on the timeline. We have to intercede. We have a chance to cause the scales through Christ Jesus to fall from the eyes of a generation. An army of Sauls that the enemy has raised up in this temperature to persecute and hate the people of God, to see them as the enemy, to want them dead, to want them harmed. We have a chance to do what Ananias did and to obediently go so the scales fall from their eyes. We have a chance to do that. And the church needs to rise to the occasion in this temperature. And forgiving that young man is the beginning of healing and a work that God in time can do something incredible. Not that it's easy. Not that it's happens all in one day. But when you release that, you are literally throwing up a legal block in the realm of the spirit against the enemy. So resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness cannot grow in that environment. Praise the Lord. So the church has a unique opportunity here. There's a lot of people that hate that generation and hate what they do. Well, a lot of people hated what Saul did. And he was a chosen instrument. And the Lord stopped him on the road to Damascus and asked him a question. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? That's the question that's going to be asked to that generation. That's the question that stops Saul in his tracks. Right there on the road to Damascus. It's no mistake that Damascus fell this past year. And what happened. And we saw these events unfold after that. That's no mistake. That's actually prophetically connected. Now I have a few other things to say. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from with this. Because I'm looking at this from a prophetic perspective. And I'm looking at this with a mass of events, spectacles, some confusion, pain, shock going on. You know, Erica Kirk did a very brave thing speaking at that memorial so soon. Marco Rubio preached the gospel. Praise God. You know, others glorified Christ. And that is all wonderful. However, in this hour, the nation, the church needs to humble ourselves before the Lord. Not make another spectacle. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. I don't know if it was necessary to have sparklers shooting out like it's the Republican National Convention. I mean, this woman's life has had a wrecking ball taken to it. I understand it's a celebration of Charlie's life. However, I can see the mentality of those claiming they have Erica Kirk's best interest at heart while, quote, striking while the iron is hot for Turning Point. So the question is, are the decisions concerning Turning Point right now being led of the flesh and out of emotion? Or is anyone pausing and saying, we need to pray and seek the Lord about how to structure all this, about what we're to do next? We can't be rash in this. We can't make rash decisions in this. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Is this being said? And Erica needs to bury Charlie, spend time with her children, hold her children, spend time with the Lord and grieve and be delivered by God from this intense trauma in a place where she is more shielded. From what I'm seeing, she doesn't necessarily need, at this very moment, Turning Point thrusting her into a role that she mentally needs to be prepared for. She doesn't need other labels put on her. I mean, all those things can crush a person whose world has been rocked in the midst of trauma and turmoil. Erica Kirk doesn't need to be crushed by the weight of an organization and a title right now. She needs to be healed by Jehovah Rapha, our great healer, Almighty God. She needs to get stability and get her footing. And she needs to take time and get mental clarity with the Lord. She needs to be able to bury her husband, hold her children, process the grief, not bury it all. to do a job, not bury it all for a title that's being put on her. She needs to process the trauma with the Lord, begin to heal, get on stable ground from this, be mentally clear, and do what the Lord is requiring of her right now, not what Turning Point believes she should do. She needs to do what the Lord is requiring her right now, not necessarily what Turning Point is requiring her and what's best for their gain. This woman, I believe, hasn't even buried her husband yet. Let her do that. And we have to intercede and pray, because if someone is thrust too soon, they fall. If they're into instability and they don't get enough stability with the Lord, and then they're thrust into a greater pressure cooker, they have a greater chance of falling than succeeding. And so this is why we need to intercede and pray, because that can crush a person. The questions alone from two little children about where their daddy is can crush a person, let alone every other title and demand and striking while the iron is hot that Turning Point is pushing for right now. She needs to heal with the Lord. If she is not healed and she gets thrust into this role, the flesh is going to creep in. Because when you heal with the Lord and you're in a position of mental and spiritual clarity, you can see. When you are grief-stricken and traumatized and your world has been rocked and has created instability, you can't see. You can't see where you're going. And this is why the Lord says, come under my wings and take refuge. My truth, not the truth of Turning Point, not the truth of the political pundits, not the truth of the spectators. My truth, says the Lord, will be your shield and buckler. Psalm 91. It is the Lord's truth in this that is needed. It is not the truth of a board. It is not the truth of those being led by the flesh. It's not the truth of those that want to thrust a woman grieving into more of a spotlight in order to grow Turning Point. That's not the truth. That is all moving in ways of opportunity. And all I'm saying is that the Lord wants to really heal her and minister to her without all the noise, without the noise of the board, without the noise of the spectators. He really wants to minister to her and heal those soul wounds and speak to her and give her an understanding from heaven's perspective and give her that clarity and vision, because right now it's all clouded. So then she can actually see where she's going, and she can see where the Lord wants to take her. Not where Turning Point wants to take her, where the Lord wants to take her. And those two things may intersect. They may, but not in the way that's being sculpted by man right now. No. Not in the way that's being sculpted by man. So please pray for her and intercede, because she really needs that. She needs that time to heal. When someone gets into an accident, there's a healing process. And if they don't follow the healing process, they don't heal properly. It's the same thing here. With what has happened, there is a healing process. And if that healing process isn't followed with the Lord, things will not heal properly. And it'll affect generations. And right now there are people there who see an opportunity and want to thrust her in and skip over the steps of healing. And all that's going to do is create more of a spectacle and more chaos and more instability. So I'm just saying, intercede and pray, because let me tell you why I'm coming at this, and I can see it from this perspective as well. Let me explain this. So back in 2019, when my husband, Chris, suffered a brain rupture and hit the ground in a coma, and he was given 0% chance to live, I was thrust into something. I already had Ark of Grace Ministries, but I was thrust now into dealing with his contracting business. I was thrust into making all sorts of decisions I didn't have to make before. And you have to understand something. When Chris suffered the brain injury, the old Chris died. My husband that I knew died. And when he woke up from that coma, it's like I married a whole new man right away. I never got to say goodbye to the old Chris. I never got to say anything to him. The old Chris died. And this new Chris came. And he wasn't like the old Chris. So even though he's Chris, and he kind of looks like Chris, even though he's got longer hair now, he's not the old Chris. And that affects you. And I got thrust into things in the middle of that. And I needed to get on stable ground with the Lord in order to do what I do now, to do it long term. And that was a process with the Lord of getting on stable ground and of spending time alone with him. I still broadcasted to a degree, but I spent time with the Lord understanding what my role was now that this has happened. And when men suffer traumatic events, if God allows them to survive, especially ones as grave as Chris's and as Charlie Kirk's was, they don't come back the same. It's not the man you knew. If by the grace of God, they survive. And that affects the entire dynamic. It affects what you knew your life once was. It affects the relationship. It affects everything. And I understand it from that perspective. And I understand what it's like to have to walk that road, knowing that your husband that you knew is gone. Gone. And you have to try to grieve that in the middle of being thrust now into decision-making and head of household duties and other things that you may have not had to do before. And now you're thrust into it. And if you are thrust into it and you have a whole bunch of noise around you, you can't hear God through it because you have been thrust into an unstable situation. The way you hear the Lord is you remove yourself from it, you take your emotions out of it, and you allow the Lord to minister to you from his perspective about now what you're supposed to do with it. And I understand what that's like. I do. And I'm coming at it, understanding it from that perspective. And you know what? There are people that want to see how they can capitalize on Erica when really Erica needs to heal so she can have the clarity to fulfill the role that God has ordained for her life. Even in the midst of this, God has a plan for her and for her life and for the people he will bring into her life in the future. And he already knows who they are. So I'm just explaining, that's the perspective I'm coming from with this, just so you all know. And I was listening about this and discerning about this before I said this. I'm not saying there weren't wonderful moments of the memorial, but I'm saying there's other things at play here that we have to pray get exposed for the sake of her mental stability and what the Lord has planned for her in the long run. That's what I'm saying right now. Okay. Now, something else I want to talk about, because I'm watching in the middle of this also, the crazy, and I do mean it. Somebody call Bellevue, because a lot of people have lost their mind in the middle of this. They've turned into King Saul, literally, and they have lost their ever-loving minds in the middle of this, accusing accusations, conservative podcasters saying horrific things right now in the midst of this. And I'm going to say this. If the theory of these conservative podcasters was correct, that Israel did all of this, that Charlie Kirk is no longer with us because of it, these conservative podcasters would have been no longer with us before Charlie, because they have exposed way more dangerous and explosive accusations here, have brought them out in the open pertaining to Israel, than Charlie ever did. So according to their own theory, they would no longer be with us before Charlie, first of all. Secondly, you do need to pray, because I believe at Turning Point USA, foxes were unknowingly let into the hen house. And there is a potential here for discord and disorder to break out from what has entered through that door. So intercede and pray for that. Also, I'm going to say this, these conservative podcasters, this group of them, and you all know who they are. You all know who they are. They have made the obsession with Israel, first of all, an idol. They have set up a shrine for their audiences to worship at. They have out of the flesh bitterness and emotion hyper-focused on this. Their flesh is leading them in this. Am I saying that the Israeli government is lily white? Absolutely not, because all the governments of the earth are corrupt, including our own government, very much so, as is the governments of Europe, as is the governments of the Middle East. What I'm saying is, I have not heard the most known conservative podcasters who are speaking this way say to their audience, we have to be cautious and not lead out of emotion here and truly seek the Lord and intercede to the Lord for what the truth is in all of this. Since they claim to have so much faith, we need the counsel of the Holy Spirit to lead us through this very complex labyrinth to the truth. It is the knowledge of the truth, according to the Word of God, that will set you free, not the knowledge of conservative podcasters. I have heard neither say such a thing, none of them. And instead, their obsessions have now become an idol in their lives, because they have lifted it up against the knowledge of Almighty God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and I can tell by what is coming out of their mouth what shrine they are worshiping at. Have either of these individuals, have any of these conservative podcasters publicly prayed for this nation, for Charlie's family, or for the truth to come out by the hand of God, not by the hand of conspiracy? It doesn't matter what kind of mood you are in. It matters right now. Is that mood leading you further into the snake pit of bitterness, unforgiveness, and rage? Or is it leading you to the knowledge of God that dismantles sophisticated arguments in high places? Your mood doesn't matter. If you're right now in submission and obedience to the Lord Almighty right now, is what shall be the dividing line to whether your platform stands. That shall be the plumb line. I have not once heard them in all of this talk, not once talk about the role of the kingdom of darkness, and yes, Satan himself. If they cannot call that out and call it for what it is, then in some capacity, they are already serving that kingdom. There is a darkness that physically was attempting to come on not only the nation, but the conservative movement. There is a darkness that is attempting to come on the conservative movement, a faction of that movement, from what we can see. The serpent is already in their ear, giving them the talking points. I am not saying don't ask questions. I'm not saying don't think. I'm not saying don't critically think. No, we need to do those things. However, there is a way to do such in submission and obedience to the Lord, and there is a way to do such in rebellion. There is a whole lot of rebellion occurring in the midst of all of this, as well as many claims of what Charlie said when Charlie conveniently is no longer with us to corroborate such claims because of this tragedy. They are committing the same Operation Mockingbird they have so accused the liberal media of doing. This is the warning now. The enemy has you marching toward a cliff that your own mouth and words have so made. And he is lulling conservative podcasters, because he's already got the other side, while laughing and dancing to their demise. They have become the Pharisees that Christ explicitly in his word warned us about. All day long, the Pharisees touted theory and conspiracy about Christ and his followers and injected convenient confusion into the crowds in order to turn their attention away from the true knowledge of God. The Pharisees mocked Christ and his followers, and I see these conservative podcasters doing the same. They have joined ranks with the other side when it comes to that. Saul of Tarsus just happened to be a Pharisee. When you lead with rage and bitterness, you are carrying the devil's banner, not Christ. You have become as destructive as the liberals with their visceral and excitement about Charlie's death. Both positions are toxic, and there is a very serious humbling fast approaching. It doesn't matter what you want to do. It matters what the Lord is telling you to do right now. And these conservative pundits have deafened their ears to such because the devil is feeding their wounds. He is giving them a feast of the flesh and is fattening them for their own demise. Pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a big fall. Pride has gone out and announced the destruction, and their mouths have become open graves speaking words of death. Catholicism won't save you. Pentecostalism won't save you. Evangelicalism won't save you. It is Christ and Christ alone and full submission to him that saves. If you believe with your mouth and confess with your, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall and will be saved. If you exalt any of these above Christ, you have done what Israel did and created an idol. If you've exalted the sect above Almighty God, you've made it an idol. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall and will be saved. Christ has been thrown in some ways on that side in a back burner and in a dumpster for the golden corral of smut, filth, rage, mockery, and bitterness that they are flocking to get heaping spoonfuls of to feed it to their audience, just as the liberals are doing. You are becoming a mutated beast, and Almighty God is going to put that down. It's becoming a mutated experiment. Some of them are saying, some of them have gone as far as to say, no one can stop them except Charlie Kirk's wife. And that is where the devil has sold you a lie, because there is one far greater that can stop you. And his name is Almighty God, Elohim, the King of Kings and the Righteous Judge. And what a horrible thing to say in the middle of all this. What a horrible, self-centered, destructive thing to say. And in this season, Almighty God will stop some. He will. He stopped Saul. He stopped Saul right on the road to Damascus. These conservative pundits have lost their minds, turned into King Saul, turned into Saul of Tarsus, and are with rage chasing David and the people of God, persecuting, smearing reputations, just as Saul did. And Saul was in full rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. It's witchcraft. What they're doing is witchcraft. Saul was manipulating the kingdom into believing he was getting rid of a problem, who was David. When David was not the problem, Saul was the problem. Saul's rebellion was the problem. Saul's delusion was the problem. Saul's narcissism was the problem. Saul's violent tendencies was the problem. Saul's hostilities was the problem. Saul's ego was the problem. And he was too blind and in bondage to see it. And you know what Saul's fate was? He fell by his own sword in battle. Let that be the warning today, that Saul fell by his own sword in battle. That's how he fell. And you know what? That's their portion too if they don't stop. We have to seek the truth, but we have to seek it according to God's word. Otherwise, we just enter the devil's playground of bitterness, resentment, rage, narcissism. And there is way more destruction that happens than there ever will be good in that playground. And that is what we're watching happening. So we have to intercede and pray. And I'm actually going to pray for Erica Kirk right now and her children in all of this. Because like I said, in a way, I have a unique perspective on this from what I went through. So that's what we're going to do. This is what the conservative pundits should be doing right now too. Praying. And I praise God that she forgave him publicly yesterday. I praise God that Marco Rubio preached the gospel. There were some wonderful moments there. People were praising Jesus. But then you know what happens? All the conservative podcasters go at it again. And they just muddy the waters again. And they just take everybody's focus off of Jesus. And they put it onto conspiracy. They put it onto other countries. They put it onto, but they do it in a way that sets it up as a shrine and an idol to worship at. That's what they're doing. They're making it a golden heifer. They're making it a golden calf before the people and saying, come worship at this. I have the answer. I'm the one asking the right questions. No, you knucklehead. You're the one that is actually walking yourself to your own demise because you've become King Saul and you've become Saul of Tarsus. So we're going to intercede and pray. It is a mixed bag of nuts out there. Let me tell you, a bunch of Fruit Loops sometimes. And we need to pray for those Fruit Loops. And thank God Robert Kennedy Jr. is taking the artificial dyes out of the ones that are in the stores. So we're going to pray right now and intercede for Erica Kirk and her children. Because Charlie is with Jesus. He don't know what's going on down here. It's Erica that has to pick up the pieces. He's with Jesus Christ. He doesn't have probably a blessed clue what is happening in the wake of this on this earth. Because he's with his creator. But Erica is still in this fallible world with her two precious children. And we have to pray and intercede for that. Because this is a ton of crushing pressure that has been placed upon her. And the enemy can use that to his advantage in this. And this is why we need to pray. So let's pray. This is what the church should be doing, right? We should be being Ananias. We should be going and praying and interceding. We should be rising up as the Acts Church in this. This is what we should be doing. Let the toxic agendas and ideologies scream their heads off. Let them. We have to make sure we're walking in the will of God. God will deal with them. Oh, he will. Oh, in this season, he will. Some of Satan's most incredible trophies on that side in this season is going to have a road to Damascus experience, be forged by the hand of God, taken by the hand of God, and rise up as a Paul. Some of the greatest trophies and most well-known names on that side are about to have their road to Damascus experience in the midst of what is happening and will be taken for a weapon for the kingdom of God. You know what the church is going to have to do? Forgive them. Forgive them when they were Saul. Pray for them when they're Paul. That's what we're going to have to do. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, we come before you this day, Father. Father, we just praise you, Father God, that you are holy. You are righteous, Father God, that you are the potter and we are just the clay, Father God, and that you mold and shape our vessels to be receptacles, Father God, for your glory, Father God. Your word says in Jeremiah, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Father, we declare that in the name of Jesus Christ over Erica Turk and her children right now, Father God. Lord, we intercede before your throne in the name of Jesus Christ in agreement. For your word says, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. How much more hundreds of thousands interceding can do, Father God. And right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we ask that your protection, Father God, that your holy firewall go up around her and those children, Father God, that those that have nefarious purposes, Father God, that those that are pushing out of the flesh, that those that are thrusting her out, Father God, into something, Father God, that you may not want her to be thrust out into yet, Father God, would be removed in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, we ask you, surround her in the name of Jesus Christ with godly, grounded people, her and her children. People that have walked with you, that have walked through the furnace of affliction with you, that have walked through the fire with you, knowing you were in the fire with them and delivered them out of it. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that by divine appointment, you place those people in her life. People that understand this walk, people that understand the process, people that understand what it takes to let go and let God, people that understand the depth of faith that is required, Father God, to supersede the noise and the plans and the purposes and the generational plots that the enemy deploys. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, we just ask, Father, that you would come for her words. Come for the words of Erica Kirk. Come for the words of her children. In the book of Daniel, Gabriel comes and he says that, and he tells Daniel that the Lord has come for your words, Daniel. Your words have been heard before the throne of God, and he has come for your words. Father, you are the same yesterday and today forever. And we are asking in the name of Jesus Christ that you would come for her words, that you would come for the words of her children, that you would bottle her tears, Father God. Lord, that your presence would be stronger and more manifest around her, Father God, than it ever has been, Father. That heaven's perspective, Father God, right now would shield her. That you would give her heaven's perspective, Father God, on what is occurring and the road she needs to go. We ask, Father God, that you would order her steps right now, Father God, that you would protect her from snares and traps that have been set out that she is not even aware of, Father God, in the midst of the tragedy that has happened, Father. That in the name of Jesus Christ, your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions would be deployed right now to destroy those snares, to expose those traps, Father God, to surround and keep her children above and below, and to guard against every dimensional access point in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray she doesn't harden her heart in the midst of this, Father God. We praise you, Father God, that you have given her a heart of flesh, that the enemy will not be able, through anyone around her, Father God, any tactics, any schemes, any wiles, to cause her to harden her heart, but that you would protect her heart with the breastplate of righteousness, Father God, that according to Ephesians chapter 6, you would put your whole and complete armor on her and her children, Father God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness that covers and protects the heart, the belt of truth, that their feet would be shod daily with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that they would take up the shield of faith, Father, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that shield of faith would go up now in front of her and her children, Father God, to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and that they would take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God, let every capability of the sword of the Spirit be activated now in their lives to destroy the snares of the enemy, to pierce and puncture the assignments of the kingdom of darkness, to remove every blockade and embargo the enemy has attempted to put in their way in the middle of this, and to make the way straight for them to now walk in the healing, the victory, the power, the authority, and the prosperity, Father God, that you have ordained for them, Father God. Let what you have ordained, Father God, override the narrative that the devil is attempting to petulate in this hour, that the devil is attempting to push, that the kingdom of darkness is attempting to flood the airwaves with, Father God. Lord, let your narrative from heaven, your ruling from heaven, override and overrule in the name of Jesus Christ the enemy, the narrative that the enemy is attempting to peddle and push in the middle of such shock and instability and a moment of weakness. For we know that the enemy roams about like a lion, seeking whom he may devour, Father, and we Thank you, Father God, that you are fortifying those areas of weakness right now from what has happened in their lives, that they're being fortified in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of Almighty God, by his warring army, by his words, by his decrees, and by his jurisdiction in the name of Jesus Christ. They are being fortified that the enemy, that predator, will not find a weak way in, Father. And anybody around her that is attempting to open those doors out of the flesh because they see opportunity, in the name of Jesus Christ, let them be removed from her life and replaced with the people that she needs in this season, that she may walk in the healing and the victory that Almighty God has for her. The Lord is her shepherd. He is the shepherd of her children. They shall not be in want. He makes them to lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside still and quiet waters. He restores their soul. He leads them in the path of righteousness for their name's sake. Though they may walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Erica Kirk and her children will fear no evil. For you, O Lord, are with them. Your rod and your staff comfort them. You prepare a table before them in the presence of their enemies. You anoint their head with oil. Their cup runs over. We speak that prophetically now. Their cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow them and pursue them all the days of their life. And they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, let that be legally activated, Father God, over their lives, throughout their lives, and permeate their lives, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, for you are their shepherd. You are the good shepherd, Father God. You protect us from the wolves, Father God. You protect us from the predators. You get out in front of us, Father God, and we praise you for that, Father God, that you have gone ahead, that you already in the future speak speaking to Erica Kirk and her children in the present. You are already in the future position of their lives and where they are, speaking to them in the present to lead and guide them and navigate them through that, Father God. Lord, let the noise be muted in their lives. Let the spectacle, Father God, be dispersed. Let the voices that are contrary to you, that are speaking to her, be muzzled and removed in the name of Jesus Christ, Father God. Lord, be the loudest voice in the room to her. Be the loudest voice in the room to her children, Father God. Fortify her in the middle, Father God, of tragedy. Fortify her children in the middle of tragedy, Father God. Give them dreams and visions, Father God. Speak to them, Lord. Speak into their lives. We speak life and life more abundant. John 10:10, the thief may come to steal, kill, and destroy, but we speak in the name of Jesus Christ, life and life more abundant over Erica Kirk and over her children, Father God. We speak life. We speak blessing. We speak healing in the name of Jesus Christ. We speak clarity. We speak spiritual sharpness, Father God. We speak peace and shalom into their lives in the midst of such chaos. We speak the shalom of God. He is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. And we speak that in the name of Jesus Christ over them, Father God. And we speak that into their lives, Father God. And we speak order into their lives, that the enemy will not jumble the order that you have ordained, Father God, but that order shall and will, in the name of Jesus Christ, in this season, be fortified. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, equip the church to rise up as Ananias. Equip the church to rise up as the Acts church. Give us the vision, Father God. Give us the knowledge from your throne. Give us the intelligence that we need, Father God, that only comes from you, in order to be able to see ahead, Father God, and expose the works of darkness and iniquity right now, Father God, that your power, Father God, your might, Father God, and your voice, Father God, may be what causes the fear of the Lord to descend upon the nation, Father God. Lord, the jackals and the wolves, Father God, that are snarling right now at the sheep, Father, strike them with your staff in the name of Jesus Christ and send them in a mass exodus of a retreat. We speak it now in the name of Jesus Christ. Any plans the enemy is forming right now of murder, of harm, to steal, kill, and destroy, Father God, against James and against Peter. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let that be dismantled, destroyed, thwarted, disrupted, and the enemy's timeline blocked in Jesus' mighty name, Father God. Let that ruling come down from your throne and be ratified, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, you put a new song in Erica Kirk's heart and the heart of her children. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, says the Lord. Weeping only endures for a season. However, when you come under the wings of Almighty God and take refuge, joy is birthed in the next season. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We praise you for that joy, Father God. We praise you that, Father God, that the justice of Yahweh is going into this situation in the nation. We praise you for that, Father God. And Lord, we just ask, Father God, that through this, Father God, Erica and her children rest in you, that they don't rest in what fallible man created, but that they rest in you, that they enter your rest, not that they forget what has happened, but they enter your rest in the middle of this, Father God. Let that rest be entered. We praise you. We thank you for all this, Father God. We praise you because you are Almighty God. There is none like you. There is no other. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I felt that. I could feel the presence of the Lord so thick in this room right now. Praise the Lord. This is what intercession is. We have to be as precise as a surgeon in this time. Prayer goes out has the precision of an arrow, the precision of a surgeon. This is what it has to be right now, because the enemy is precise. He is strategic. Demons are diligent. And it is time for the Acts Church to rise and with precision, the precision of a surgeon, dismantle the plans and purposes and works of darkness and iniquity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All glory be to God. Thank you for praying with me. I very much appreciate that. This is what we're going to continue to do. This is what we will continue to do. And we're doing it on Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. We are praying and interceding as the sun is going down. So all glory be to God for that. Now, oh, praise the Lord. A couple of updates. Lashana Tova to all of you who are wishing a happy Rosh Hashanah. Update on Grace the Horse. Many of you know, for many of you that don't know, about 5 days ago, Grace, and I knew it was an attack because of the name of the horse that got attacked, because her name is Grace. Grace had to be rushed to the equine hospital because she was presenting evidence of colic. And within 20 minutes, the doctor, she came to me, said, we have to put her on the table and open her up. She's a young horse. We have to look. So I authorized the surgery. She had a strangulating lipoma that wrapped around her bowel, pinched her bowel shut, killed 12 inches of intestine. They took out 2.5 feet of her intestine, put it back together. We did not know how she was going to come out of this, although we trusted the Lord. Grace is doing very well right now. Praise God, considering what has happened to her. She's beginning to eat grain. She's beginning to eat a little bit of hay. They have her on Denji hay right now, a mash of it, wet with water. And so Grace is going to have to go to a medical rehab barn. They do have medical rehab barns. It's meant when a horse has to leave the hospital but needs extra medical care and rehab. Because of what has happened, she is going to have to go to a medical rehab barn. And so we are beginning to talk about that with the doctors and make plans for that as well. So arcofgrace.org/events. We have all of our information there. So we have our address. We have other ways if you want to help Grace and the other animals we help and everything else we do as the ministry. We have all the information in arcofgrace.org/events, and you can go there. And so Grace, praise God, is doing amazing considering what happened to her. And if you think about what happened to Grace in the middle of everything happening in the nation, right? Internally, the horse was strangled. I want you to think about this. The horse's name is Grace. Internally, she was strangled. What's happening to the church right now? They're trying to strangle the church from within. Think about this. Think about this. Because what happens in the nation of the church normally runs parallel to the lives of those who are out there contending. And Grace was strangled from within, just like the church. They attempted to do the church. So praise God, she was, we prayed over Grace before she went into surgery. We all went in as a team. We laid hands on her. We prayed for the doctors and the assistants, and they did an amazing job. And praise God, Grace is on the mend, but she's got a road ahead of her. She's got a road ahead of her to heal. Think about this. Think about that in the middle of what's going on in this nation. The horse named Grace has a road ahead of her to heal. Think about that. So you could go to arcofgrace.org/events to learn more as well. We also took in two new on emergency animals at the sanctuary. Let me show you them, the before and after. Here was the two sheep before we took them in. And our shearer, Donald, came today and sheared them. And this is how they look after. They're a boy and a girl. Actually, if you remember back in January, remember the sheep I tracked through the woods that got away from a farm that really didn't care much about them? Well, these are the two sheep. There was actually a third, and the third one passed away. But these are the two that are left over from that event, and the person that had them could not take care of them. And so we got the call, and we were asked to take them, and we rushed putting together a plan in order to take them in. So they are safe with us. They have been sheared. The male is going in for surgery tomorrow to be fixed, so we can put them in with the other sheep and work towards that. Their names are S'more and Graham. So there's a female and a male. The female is S'more. As you can see, her face kind of looks like a s'more, one of our sanctuary staffers pointed out. And the male is Graham. He's the one with the white face. He actually looks like Moses did at about 4 months old, but they're full grown. So they're very small sheep. So we have S'more and Graham, two sheep in desperate need that we took in on emergency. And now we have a total of 8 sheep. So the Lord is sending sheep. For good reason with what's going on in this nation, because it's running parallel. So we've got Grace the horse and what happened, and we've got these two sheep that were ragged that needed to be taken in, and we took them in and we went to work today. We went to work today beginning to help them, and we will keep you updated on S'more and Graham. Also, this Thursday, I'm going to be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We are going to be preaching at Clay's event. Eric Trump is going to be there as well, as long as a host of others. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there. You can text the phone number below if you would like to go. I will be preaching Friday evening, I believe it is. And so I'm looking very forward to that. So we just wanted to tell you about that as well. Hold on 1 second here. My screen's going a little nutty. Okay, got it back. Let me see what else here. As well as we have a Rosh Hashanah short going out where Chris and I blew the shofar at the Albergo Alegria. If you have never been to Wyndham, New York, and you want to go stay somewhere, go to the Albergo Alegria. It means the Inn of Happiness in Italian. Mariana and her father, Vito, are two of the best chefs I've ever come across. And her husband, Leslie, he's from Australia. He's lovely. They run the inn, and it's near a high place on that mountain. And it's incredible. And they're believers, spirit-filled believers, incredible people. So if you can go, you are going to absolutely love them. And Leslie loves to talk biblical. So if you like to do that, Leslie's your guy. But we blew the shofars up there. And so that short is going out as well. Lastly, as we close for tonight, we have Givaderm. We have two things. Givaderm, you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministries-partners. Use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. Givaderm is food for your face. It is all natural. It is one of the most amazing skincare lines I have ever used. I use it twice a day, and the women who run it absolutely love the Lord. So if you'd like to be a blessing to them, try these products. They're in glass bottles as well, which is so much better for you than plastic. You can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners and use promo code ARC10. We also have Grid Down Chow Down, two amazing brothers who have a freeze-dried beef that is grass-fed, grass-finished, 10 to 15-year shelf life. You can also use it for your pets to enhance their food or to use it as an incredible treat to train them. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, use promo code ARC. They put a salvation track in every single bag. They are preaching the gospel with every single bag. It is amazing what they're doing. So you can go to our ministry partner page as well to learn more. So thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. I am going to be back on tomorrow night because I have to be in Tulsa later on in the week. So we will be back on live tomorrow night, probably about 5:30 p.m. we will announce. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our moderators and our Ark of Grace team. God bless everyone. Keep the faith. Armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. We have other Psalms there as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. Incredible, incredible order to that prayer that you should be incorporating to your prayer life. Hebrews 11, incredible chapter on faith, as well as the Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19. It is in the Believer's Authority by Pastor Kenneth Hagin. I say these scriptures every single day. We need to be in the discipline of speaking the word, of using it, of being precise with it, of speaking it into the vein of situations. So we like to encourage you with that as well. And we just thank you for liking and subscribing as well. We very much appreciate it. So thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. I'm going to get some rest now. I'm going to try to get some rest anyway. And we will be back at it tomorrow. So keep the faith, everyone. God bless. If you want to support an amazing patriot and be a blessing, go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK, A-R-K, to save up to 66% or more off of all MyPillow products. They have pillows, of course, but they are so much more than pillows. They have sheets, they have slippers, they have bathrobes, they even have dog beds. And a fun fact for all of you, Noble, one of our pigs at our animal sanctuary, has indeed slept on a MyPillow dog bed. So if you want to be a blessing, you can go to MyPillow.com today and use promo code ARK.